All right. This morning before I was praying, and I heard that scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And the Lord said, what's so unfortunate about it is he said, they always seek ye first the world. This is the problem. They don't seek me first. You know, it's not about God not letting us do, because he knows the desires of our hearts, so he knows how we're turned, how our bent is. He created us and how we do things, and he wants us to enjoy life, but he likes to be in on it. You know, like, well, Lord, what do you think about this? I say, well, go ahead. I think he just likes to be asked, do you think? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added unto you. He just wants to be a part of your life and part of what you, you know, the things you want to do. He, in fact, I think a lot of times, like in the sad situation that you're dealing with, I got to thinking about that. If you've sought the world and the ways of the world and all the things the world has to offer, then you get a horrible diagnosis. You go to pieces, you're mad at the world, you're mad at God, and you're going, why should you be mad at God if you haven't consulted him or had him any place in your life? How can you expect for him to come through? He would. He would. You know, don't give up on him. Just keep at it. Keep him in your prayers, because I can see, you know, people usually lash out in anger first. And then they begin to kind of have reflection and start evaluating things in their life. You may be the only Jesus that person knows, you know. So don't give up on that. Let's just keep God in the forefront. Say, okay, Lord, this is what I want to do, but what do you think about it? Is that okay with you? Let him tell you what to do, and then you can proceed on. You never have to have a doubt. Well, Lord, did I do the right thing? See, it's a very simple thing. Let me read it to you right here. But seek ye, well, let me think, wait a minute, let me go up here. This whole 25th chapter. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more than they, or much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. There, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? How are we going to get any baby formula? How are we going to get any, you know, toilet paper? What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amplified says, his way of doing and being right. I like that. And all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So he doesn't want us fretting and worrying about things. I mean, he knows where we are. He knows what we need. And if we'll consult him, say, Lord, I don't know what's or how I'm going to pay this bill, but I'm looking to you. When I don't know what to do, my eyes are looking to you. And that brings us to the teaching this morning. We started a new one last week called Prayer Call. We're at a time in our nation where prayer is the deciding factor of where we sit in this nation, the nations of the world. And I call this The Help. We all know the movie, The Help, that political movie to push an agenda. But I'm telling you, I see through that the Holy Spirit is the help. He's called the helper. He didn't just leave us down here as orphans, as some one of his parables say. He gave us help. We're going to look at that help today. To me, this is the biggest help you'll ever have. If it's a part of your life, then you're going to always have a reservoir that you can tap into and know what to do. Okay. Matthew 25. Calling all virgins. Start with verse 1 there. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Virgins here does not mean the physical sense. These are spiritual virgins. These that followed God. 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise. 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. The oil is representative of the Holy Spirit. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but ye go rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. You know, there's always those that want to come on your coattail, but in the kingdom of God, you can't. This is an individual thing between just you and your Creator. Not anybody else can't get you there. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. So when we've got the Holy Spirit in us, and we're used putting Him to work in our lives for us, I mean, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but if you don't use your prayer language, I think probably everything that's ever come to me about anything has come that way. We're spirit beings, and so that's how God speaks to us. It's not through signs. Well, Lord, if you want me to do that, cause 5 red cars to fly, you know, come by my house, and I'll know it's you. No, we don't go by those things. That was a Gideon thing in the Old Testament. Brother Hagin used to say, if you use fleeces, you'll get fleeced. But if you'll rely on the Holy Spirit, it's a sure thing, and it'll always bear out. He bears witness with our spirit that we're the sons of God. That's how we know we're Christians. Not by the outside, but by the inside. Because that's what's born again is your spirit, man. It's awakened to righteousness. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. So you've got the third person of the Godhead residing inside of your born again spirit. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Someone that knows everything. It says He's been made unto us wisdom. Everything you'll ever need, ever. The longest day you live is right here already. It's like Jesus told the woman at the well, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Every answer for everything is right in your spirit, but it's a matter of praying it out. You got to prime the pump, is like I call it. It's like getting the water from here, and it starts coming out of here. I remember a pastor's wife. She was real disillusioned with people because people are so nasty, especially church people. Just saying, I've seen some of the nastiest people I've ever seen in church situations. Anyway, she's so hurt by what people had done that she started praying in the Spirit. She said, I remember the day my head cleared the well. In other words, she came out of all those hurts and the Holy Spirit healed her as she was praying in the Spirit. All this surgery was going on in her because what's going on the inside is what you're seeing on the outside. It's an inside condition, you know, in people. Because the Lord's been showing us, whatever happens, what you see in the natural world, whether it be good or bad, it happened in the Spirit first. So, having said that, calling all virgins. I have not seen this in light of prayer before, but the Holy Spirit quickened to me that we are in the end, and this is the time that prayer is in high demand to bring about God's plan. Danny had a word from the Lord a few months ago about us as praying, as intercessors, praying in God's order, God's government into the earth. And God would raise up an army of intercessors. Now I'm talking about intercessors that know the mind of God and do not try to change it or use their own agenda, because I've seen that that's happened to me, when intercessors say, well, God tells us you don't need to be doing this, blah, 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 blah. They weren't praying God's will, they're praying their will. But the Holy Spirit takes hold together with us to pray the perfect will of God. So God wants His order reestablished in the earth and His government set up in the earth. This is the thousand-year millennial reign, God's government. So He said, pray that I will raise up an army of intercessors that will pray in my order and pray in my government. So that's what we've been doing here, really since 2015 with petitions and different things. So you see how important the prayer is. It's not about anything. We're all in stages of development and God changing us and bringing us out of old things that are not good for us or whatever, and correcting us. That happens all by this work. This surgery goes on by the Holy Ghost inside of us. The good thing about it, it's not painless, I'd say. I mean, like natural pain. It can be hard. It can be tough sometimes. But the Holy Spirit does that work. He accomplishes that work in us. That way it comes out of us. It flows out of us. Not we're trying to be good. We're trying to be better. Because I'm telling you, you can't. Why do you think Jesus came and died? If man could do it himself and make himself better, make himself good, don't you think he would have done it? Not possible. That's why Jesus had to come and give us some help. He's here to help. All right. 1 Corinthians 12:1, Paul said this, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Spiritual here means not carnal, but supernatural. All this inner working by the Spirit. Gift here is just a spiritual endowment. Because out of this will happen the flow of the gifts of the Spirit, miracles, all kinds of things will come out of the spirit of man. It's living water. Paul is talking about praying not praying in the natural, but talking about praying in the Spirit or speaking in tongues. This is the call to prayer that the Lord is calling for us to engage in at this time in history. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it opens the doorway to the supernatural. A lot of people say, well, you know, I'd like to get into those things, but how? Through this experience. That opens it up. Okay, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it opens the doorway to the supernatural. It opens the way for the Holy Spirit to use you to the gifts of the Spirit, and mainly and foremost, it allows the Holy Spirit to pray through you the perfect will of God. A lot of people pray a lot of stupid prayers. Just you know, mainly out of their own desires. But the Spirit never does that. We're going to look at that. This is Romans 8. A much used scripture that's pulled completely out of context. Oh, you know, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, according to those are called according to His purpose. That's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about the Holy Spirit praying through you. All right, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. What are our infirmities? This is our weaknesses and our lacks. And where does the devil target you and your strong points? No, he's not stupid. He goes after your weak places. This is where the Holy Spirit comes in. He helps us in our infirmities, weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He always has your best interest at heart, always. He's not selfish. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So you can always pray in the Spirit, and you will always pray the right way. All right, so God is calling on you in this day and hour to let the Holy Spirit pray through you God's plan, His perfect will for you and for this nation and for the world. When we pray this way, we will not pray amiss, but we already will be lined up with God's will, and it will be a no fail. All right, 1 Corinthians 14:2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. A mystery there is just simply a secret. When you're praying in the spirit, a lot of times you're praying God's secret. Sometimes he shows you what you're praying. Sometimes you will get mental understanding or clarity of what you're praying. I know a lot of times the Lord will show me somebody to pray for, and I'll pray for them, but I don't always necessarily know what I'm praying for them. It's a secret. Okay? You probably won't know what you're praying, but he does, and he does the best. He's the mind of God. Okay. But the best part of this, the devil can't understand it. You know why he comes against speaking in tongues so bad? Because he can't interpret it. He can't intercept it. He can't do nothing about it. Keeps him totally out of the loop. And you're communicating secrets between you and God. All right. Well, praying in the natural, I can run out of words real fast. You talk about boring. I just say so many hallelujahs and thank you, Lord. You know, it says that when you pray in the Spirit, you give thanks well. So you kind of get it all done in the same deal. You know, this week I had a TV shoot and some other things going on, and then our party and everything, which was wonderful. Thank you, everybody, again. But your body gets weary. And I remember going in there and just sitting down. I was doing my puzzle. And I started praying in the Spirit, and it's like refreshing. It's like praying like that will refresh your body. I've had that happen on many occasions where Lord, I'm out of strength. Pray in the Spirit. It's like pumping iron in the Spirit. Jude says to build up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. And you know what? I can watch TV, I can crochet, I can do stitchery, I can do my puzzle and pray in the Spirit, because it's not coming out of my mind. It's not coming out of my head. It's coming out of here. You ever notice that? I mean, did he give us treasure or what? Talks about treasures or earthen vessels with treasure inside. There it is. Right there. I mean, talk about the help. He helps us. He's not asking us to do it in our natural self. Now, God may tell you to do something naturally, but all the work really is the Holy Spirit taking hold together with you to accomplish it in you. And then it's just a flow out of you. You ever come across somebody and they're, you know, it's unexpected, and God just gives you something for this person, and all of a sudden you just connect with them, and just stuff starts flowing out. There's that river of living water flowing out of you. Happens to me quite often, and it always blesses me every time it happens, because I know it's not me. I know that's the Holy Spirit. That's His wisdom to help that person. Yeah. Okay, let's keep going here. Praying in the natural, well, we can run out of things to say really fast. I notice that I can even read and still pray in the Spirit. It's not coming out of your brain or your mind, but out of your spirit. The old formalism has passed away. Jesus talked to the woman at the well about this, and it was no longer going to be an exterior walk where they had to do all these natural things to try to be pleasing to God, sacrifices and all these things, but it was going to be an inside walk from here on out through the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to look at John 4. Jesus talks to the lady at the well, the woman at the well, about this experience. You know, the religious people thought Jesus was a kook. It's like the religious people of today think we're a bunch of kooks. Who cares? We got the power, man. We got it living inside of us. All right, John 4, 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Now, they weren't supposed to have anything to do with the Samaritans or anybody outside the tribe of Israel, but God sent him against religious tradition to go to Samaria just to meet with this woman. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples had gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. This is the Holy Spirit. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. Here's an example of what's coming out of him, out of his spirit. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And then sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Have you noticed lately through the Truth or Movement, they keep making this statement, well, God didn't come for us to worship him. It's like they're deviating from everything they've been taught in the Word of God to embrace another false narrative going the other direction. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. How are you going to do that? Not by natural means. This is by the Holy Spirit. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. See, he told her everything that she ever did. Nobody else probably knew that, except the people probably that knew around where she lived. But I mean, when you come up on somebody and you got words that you're saying and it's something about their personal life and they know you couldn't know, then they know they've had a visitation from God, that God's talking to them. God will tell you things about situations. The hard part is holding on to it until he says, release it. For me, that's one of my hardest things. So we have to continue to do that. See, this was a new dispensation, just like we're coming into a new dispensation like we've never seen before on this earth. That's the way it was in Jesus' day, and the Holy Spirit was given for certain reasons. They didn't have it in the Old Covenant. They had it in the New. All right, Mark 16, we're going to see a beginning of what this experience would help them do, would help them carry out the Great Commission. This is Mark 16, 17. Excuse me. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is supernatural. This is by the Holy Spirit. That's how people would know this is of God. Not by some natural work that a man does, but by the Holy Spirit. All right, let's keep going. Good stuff here. I'm telling you, I could have come up here and said a lot of things today to try to help you, but there's not anything more than the helper. You won't see any reference of this in the Old Testament about speaking in tongues. It's for the New Testament. A new power working in each believer to accomplish God's will. And we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than all of you put together. Because he knew about the power of the Holy Spirit working in the believer. Ephesians 5, 15. All right, verse 15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Have you ever been in a meeting where they were drunk in the Spirit? You see all kinds of things. The last time we were in a meeting like that, this couple had a laughing anointing. I mean, you just get in their presence, everybody's just laughing. It's a supernatural laugh. It's not like your old ha-ha laugh. And there was a couple of drunks up in the bar up there. And they heard all the laughter going on, so they come down there. And they got born again and filled with the Spirit. Yeah. But they accused them on the day of Pentecost of being drunk. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, all the poppy songs, where do you think they come from? Holy Spirit. My songs the Lord gave me from the Holy Spirit. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always. Well, when you pray in the Spirit, it says you give thanks well. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right. I think our biggest problem as believers today is in the habit of the old nature, going back to trying to do things on our own, trying to take care of our problems, getting upset, getting stressed out, even getting sick over just the cares of this life, the cares of this world. When if we turn inward, all the answers lie inside. Now, it might not happen just like that. You may have to give a little time to it, but it'll come. Eventually, and you won't be so wore out over it. All right, here are some benefits of speaking in tongues. Luke 24 is the first one. This is Luke 24, verse 49. Anybody there? And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power on high. So one of the biggest reasons you're filled is for you to have power. First of all, to take the gospel. All right, everybody wants power, right? We're going to read about it. Acts 2. This is the day of Pentecost. Yeah, that doesn't have tabs on it. Sorry. All right, this is 2 verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying out one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia and Egypt and all the parts of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. They were proclaiming the gospel in their infilling. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter standing up, Peter that denied the Lord three times, standing up in power and saying, he lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it came to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor smoke. What do we just have? Blood moon, right? The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. We've been seeing these blood moons since 2014. These are signs in the heavens, y'all. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right, let's keep going here. All right, old Peter, you know, he's the one that he tried to walk on the water and he sank. And he denied the Lord three times. But the Holy Ghost gave him courage. In fact, he was crucified. They didn't do this by their own strength. Supernatural. All right. After this infilling, the disciples and the apostles began to do the same things that Jesus did. In fact, they got thrown in jail. I think it was Peter and John. He said, yeah, we perceive they've been with Jesus because they're acting like Jesus. Miracles were happening. The lame man at the gate rose up and walked. They didn't do that in their own power. It was the Holy Ghost power in them. It's not just in them, but you too. I want to read to you one story. This is Acts chapter 8. Talking about, we don't need airplanes. I mean, you know, there's a lot of preachers have spent billions of dollars on airplanes. I'm thinking, they didn't need airplanes. This is Acts 8:26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, but both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing to, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So he's translated in the Spirit. Didn't need no plane. God really located him where he needed him to be. Supernatural power had opened up to the new church. All right, the Lord was giving me this analogy about the old way and the natural way of building a building as opposed to having all the latest power tools to do the job instead of doing it by hand. The Holy Ghost or the high-tech power tools compared to your chisel and your hammer and your nail. All right. Let's look at some more benefits of it. Acts 1:8. Which we just read on the day of Pentecost, the power is given to us to do a certain thing. This is Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to all the uttermost part of the earth. So the power is there for us to be witnesses. Not to everybody, but when the Lord prompts you. It may be 1 in 100, but when he prompts you, he gives you something to say to someone or to give to someone. Encourage someone. All right, you can pray naturally and get tired really fast, but praying in tongues is your very own spirit praying. That's 1 Corinthians 14:14. It isn't you praying, even though you're giving your voice to the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit. Let's start with 13 here. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. All right, I told you already about refreshing. This is Acts 3:19. This is a good refresher. If you've already heard all of this, It keeps you keen to the purpose of all this. This is 3:19, Acts. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You know, I told you how being tired, you can pray in the Spirit and get refreshing, which means recovery of breath and revival. All right. Why do we strive so much? Sometimes we forget that we have the helper. Or the help inside. Everything you will ever need is right inside of you. It's like a well of water springing up into eternal life. You got to prime the pump, though. You have to stir yourself up. If you're kind of at a dead end and you think, Lord, I don't know what to do. How do you stir up? You have to stir that up inside of you. You have to begin to pray in the Spirit. It's like priming the pump to the well. Your mind gets the understanding after a while. I mean, there's been times where I've prayed about things for a couple of years and didn't know what to do and didn't do anything. Had the opportunity to do things, but I just didn't feel a clear to do it. And it was a good thing I didn't do it because it would have been the wrong choice. And then all of a sudden, one day, bam, there's the understanding right here of what I've been praying, what I've been asking for. Don't just do something. If I could say anything, especially this day and time, don't just do something. If you don't have that clear peace to just move ahead, don't do it. Wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. That right there in this day and time, we need to. We need to be asking the Lord, should I go there? Should I do that? There's a lot of crazy crap going on out there. And we need to wait on the Lord. If you've got the all clear, peace makes the call, like an umpire in a ball game. Peace makes the call. When you got peace, plunge ahead and you don't need to be afraid or worry about anything. But if you just plunge on ahead, that's why people say, well, I don't know why the Lord allowed that to happen. Well, you idiots, you let it happen. God didn't have anything to do with it. He's trying to tell you, wait, wait, wait. Just like me buying that deal for the front of the house, I just kept trying to buy it and trying to buy it and kept thinking, man, I want that, but I just feel funny about that, and I just kept waiting, and here I got it as a gift. Holy Spirit's trying to tell me, no, don't do that, don't do that. Like I said, a lot of times that's all it is, it's a little A lot of people just ignore that little and they end up dead. This is serious. We live in the days we live in. That's why we got to listen to the Holy Spirit. He leads and guides us into all truth. So if you don't take anything away other than that today, You can always wait. Nothing's ever that we can't wait. All right. John 7:38 says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Why would you want old stale stuff when you can have living water? You talk about clean water. I know that's a big thing today. All right, if you have not been doing this in your prayer call, virgin, rise up and trim your lamp. Stir up the waters inside of your own spirit. Make it a habit every day and you will be amazed at the difference in your life. And if you're not used to doing it very long, don't do it very long. Do it 15 minutes and say, well, I'm going to try to add 5 minutes a week or whatever, until you've developed to where you're used to praying longer in the spirit. All right. Men spend so much time on empty pursuits. But to me, this is the most important thing you could ever spend time on. Because why? It leads to all the things you desire, all the things that you will enjoy in your life, and with Father's blessing. Instead of trying to, you know, greedy graspers trying to gain yourself, doing your own thing all your life, and then you come to the end of it and you think, my God, it's like the man that built his barns and that night the soul was required because he wasn't rich towards God. He didn't have anything, you know, and everything he thought he had acquired goes to somebody else. What good is that? No, we need to be rich in the Spirit. All right. Praying in the Spirit is never a waste of time. It only benefits you. Only benefits. All right, Isaiah 55:1-2. It's a cool scripture. We're close to being done here. I know y'all not used to long-winded Nana. Isaiah 55. Well, the Lord, he gives me analogies from movies a lot of times to teach because so many people go to movies. But he said, you know, just like these black maids, because I can remember when our mother worked, when we were little kids, we had a black housekeeper. And so the movie just resonated with me because I lived that. Here they are, very helpful and unappreciated and really unseen. That's like the Holy Spirit. We don't see him, but he's there, and he's the biggest help any of us could ever have. All right. All we hear is about all the bad stuff in the movies. Well, there's some good stuff, too. All right. This is Isaiah 55:1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. That's just putting him first. That's just making it a habit. Lord, I want to do this. What do you say about it? Pretty simple, isn't it? All right, I've got a few more here. Can y'all take it? A few more scriptures here? All right, let's go back to Acts 1. Starting with verse 4 there. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they were therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and all Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So they had to go and wait 10 days. Pentecost is 50. 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, Pentecost happened. It's also Jubilee. Well, they go together. Holy Ghost power and Jubilee go together. One's spiritual, one's natural. When you do spiritual jubilee, you got natural jubilee. Most definitely. So he's telling them to wait. He spoke to 500 there, and 120 showed up. Yeah, they didn't take the opportunity. But those who showed up, their socks were blessed off, but they were blasted off. All right, I'm going to look at some instances where people were filled with the Spirit, and then we're going to be done. Acts 8. I'm going to read verse 8. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, just a few verses. First is verse 8. All right, and there was great joy in the city. I'll start with 4 on this one. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. See, this was that power. Wasn't like the religious leaders. They didn't care. The religious leaders don't care about you today. They didn't care about them then. They're the same old devil's crowd. I'm sorry. All right, 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the names of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So you see, it's two separate experiences. People are arguing to the ground about, no, I got everything I needed when I got born again. I don't need that the other stuff. Well, you know what? The devil fights speaking in tongues. I already told you. Because he can't understand it. He can't intercept it. He can't do nothing about it. It leaves him in the dark, which is great. All right, let me see here. 17. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands of the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thou money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. No, this is supernatural. Money has nothing to do with it. In Acts chapter 10, we see that it wasn't just for the Jewish people, but God extended it also to the Gentile, which would be probably, unless we're of the 12 tribes that we don't know about, because we've been scattered all throughout the earth, you know, we're grafted in. So anyway, to the Gentile nations here. While Peter yet spake these words, he went to the house of these people. The Holy Ghost fell on all of them, which they heard. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Yeah. So the Jew bunch thought it was just for them. So God said, no, it's for everybody. We're the new Jew, in case you didn't know it. It's not... Jews are not just Jews in the natural, but they're those of the Spirit that are circumcised in heart and not in the flesh. That's in Romans. Okay. Doesn't go well with Jews. I had a Jew contact me on my website over one of my episodes about the virgins. He said, you're going to take this away from us too? I said, the virgins are the church, not natural Jews. Anyway, I'm thinking, whatever. Think whatever you want. I'm not going to argue with you about anything. All right, Acts 19:1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. All right, let's drop down to 6 here. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. All right, let's keep going. Another benefit of speaking in tongues. This is 1 Corinthians 14. Let's start with 13 there. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. He's talking about in the church then, when you're in an assembly. For if you pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with my spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen if I give him a thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? So he's talking about the difference between when you're in your private life and when you're in church. Then 17 kind of explains it. For thou verily givest thanks well when you pray in the Spirit, but the other's not edified if you're in the presence of other people. All right, when you're believing God for something and having to struggle to pray, you pray in the Spirit. This is Jude 20. Told you it's like pumping iron in the Spirit. What do I do with it? Okay. Jude is just one little couple pages here. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. All right? And we're going to show you how you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a good scripture to use for anybody that wants to be filled with the Spirit. And they come up with this, well, you know, I've always been thought that it was of the devil. Well, this Spirit qualifies and shows you that when God gives you His Spirit, He makes a promise that He will not fill you with anything other than His Spirit. This is Luke 11:11. It says here, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? All right. That's all I got for you today.